So for today, this Palm Sunday, our processional gospel is from the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. After he had said this, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. And tie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let me go ahead and be seated again. Alrighty. I have a couple different chunks of my sermon, and I'm hoping that kind of at the end they'll actually all come together. So, when I was a little girl, my brother and I had friends who lived down the street from us. Their names were Bee and Jody. And Jody was the same age as my older brother, and Bee was 2 years older than them. We loved playing with them because Bee was a good leader, and she was wise. Some might call her a little bossy, but I just thought she was the best. And Jody was very artistic, and she loved to laugh. So they were always, it was always fun to play with Bee and Jody. We really especially liked playing at their house because they had a couple acres of property that dumped into the woods. And in those woods, we learned all sorts of important things, like which ferns make the best forts. We learned about the stink of skunk cabbage, the pain of stinging nettles, and how to effectively hide from Bee and Joe's older brothers who weren't always nice to us when they were out there riding their dirt bikes. Well, one day, the four of us were playing at our house, and our dog, Freckles, was with us. And after a while, Bee said to my brother and I, she said, "I don't get why you talk to your dog like he understands you." My brother and I looked at her like, "What?" And she said again, "I don't get why you guys talk to your dog like he understands you." And both my brother and I at the same time said, "Because he does." Well, this morning, we read the gospel lesson at the very beginning of the service. So if you need to flip back to it, you can. But you might want to take a look at it just to refresh your memory, because I love this passage from Luke. Because I think that Luke affirms what my 8-year-old heart knew. That animals really do communicate. That even stones communicate. Stones, rocks can shout out and cry out with joy. What is, how the hills are alive with the sound of music. That sound is a sound of praise and thanksgiving. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So besides the shouting rocks in the gospel lesson for today, one of the other interesting things I noted this year as I read through the gospel, trying to kind of hear it with fresh ears, is the fact that Luke takes great care in detailing many of the things. I mean, he tries to almost precisely locate where this incident happened. Exactly of what was to be said and what was said. And yet the two disciples that are sent to fetch the donkey, they're not named. I mean, Jesus had 12 disciples, so it's not like it was forgotten who these people are. But it made me wonder why. Why, when the location was so carefully detailed, when the words, the conversation was so carefully recorded, why weren't these disciples named? There are certainly what I kind of think are maybe a little less significant stories in the Gospels where the disciples are named. Why on this grand day of celebrating Jesus as the one who comes in the name of the Lord are these disciples not named? Were they embarrassed that they were reduced to the role of donkey fetchers? Did they not want to have to defend their rather unglamorous act for all ages? Did someone think that that was an unimportant task and that their names didn't matter? I don't know, but what I appreciate about that lack of detail in a very detailed account is that even this perhaps embarrassing or unimportant and definitely unnamed task of donkey fetching becomes a great opportunity. It becomes a grand opportunity, an opportunity of encountering God. That Jesus predicted the events exactly as they unfolded turned the very ordinary and unimportant act of donkey fetching into a very significant revelation that God is at work here. And this, along with the shouting stones, sets the tone for all of the events that we're going to experience for the whole rest of our Lenten journey. All the events that are going to unfold between now and Easter. Don't be afraid. Don't feel unimportant. Don't fear, because God is at work here. No matter what happens, we're celebrating now, but no matter what happens, God is always at work. Even in the ordinary, even in the unimportant, even in the silence, even in ways we don't always notice or understand, God is at work. Because God is always at work. Pulitzer Prize winner Mary Oliver has written a wonderful poem about Palm Sunday. It's from her book, Thirst, and it's entitled, "The Poet Thinks About the Donkey." She writes, "On the outskirts of Jerusalem, the donkey waited, not especially brave or filled with understanding. He stood and waited. How horses turned out into the meadow leap with delight. How doves, released from their cages, clatter away, splashed with sunlight. But the donkey, tied to a tree as usual, waited. Then he let himself be led away. Then he let the stranger mount. Never had he seen such crowds. And I wonder if he at all imagined what was to happen. Still, he was what he always had been. Small, dark, obedient. I hope finally he felt brave. I hope finally he loved the man who rode so lightly upon him as he lifted one dusty hoof and stepped as he had to forward." I love this poem. It's beautiful. And one of the things that I love so much about this poem is that I think she's inviting us to something more, to a deeper understanding that no matter how small or insignificant that we might feel that we are, no matter how ordinary or unimportant we think our tasks are, she's inviting us to be like the donkey and be brave, to allow Christ to use us. To use us and to use our lives in ways that we might not yet fully understand. Because God is at work here. God is always at work here. She's inviting us to finally love the man, to love Jesus, the one who the donkey bore, as that donkey lifted that dusty hoof and stepped as he had to forward. She's inviting us, and this gospel invites us to love Jesus more deeply, regardless of the unexpected things that life throws our way, because life throws us lots of unexpected and often unwelcomed things. Don't be afraid. Bravely step forward in faith, because we have to. And we know that Christ is with us. That God is at work here. And that all of this, we are God's creation. You know, as we're on this Lenten journey, this is really an important reminder for us. Because we are stepping forward with Christ as he takes this journey. We're entering into that chain of events that lie at the very center of our faith, the very heart of who we are and what we hold dear, what we are about as God's people. We know that we don't always know what to expect. You may not have come here this morning expecting it to be Palm Sunday, because it's not the Sunday before Easter. Yet here we are, being reminded again that God is at work here. And so we step forward in faith, because we know that no matter what, God is faithful. So this morning, you are feeling uncertain. If you're feeling a little afraid, if you might be feeling unimportant or insignificant or discouraged, like you take one step forward and then you're taking three steps backwards, wave that palm branch a little harder and listen. Listen to how all of creation is singing a song of joy for their creator. Listen to those frogs croaking. Watch the stars twinkling if we can see them. And if not, listen to the rain pattering on your roof. Look at the beauty of the mountains. See dogs and cats at play. Watch horses gallop. Because on this day, all of creation, palm branches, the people who wave them, the animals, the rocks, the earth, the sky, all shout in praise and thanksgiving to God our Creator. All of creation understands. All of creation loves the Creator. All of creation shouts, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And as you step forward out of this church today, know that Christ is with you. And not only will you be blessed, but you will be a blessing to others. So today we take time when the rest of the world is not, and we wave our palm branches a little harder. And we give thanks. We give thanks that no matter what, God loves us. And that we know, Even as we question, we know that God is at work here because God is always at work here. And that's the best news ever. Amen.